Blog Talk Radio.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know on the radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of People You Need to Know, Metro Atlanta's premier business spotlight publication, where we promote business people you can call today. In this segment, we're going to be talking about non-medication options for supporting children with ADD or ADHD. One study found that in the U.S., ADHD is diagnosed in approximately 10% of the school-age population. My guest today is the founder and president of Practice in Motion Training Institute, a professional organization with the mission of empowering and equipping families to better care for their special needs child. We're honored to have on the phone today a young lady who is helping to positively impact the lives of children with special needs. Ms. Patricia Glenn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sparkplug. How are you today?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm fabulous.
Great. Let's get right into it. What are the characteristics of a child or person with ADD or ADHD?
Basically, it's a neurological disability which requires a medical diagnosis, so a child would need to see a medical physician in order to get that determination. Typically, a doctor is going to be looking for inattentiveness, impulsivity, and hyperactivity, and those things will be addressed or verified through a behavior checklist that usually is sent to the teacher and parent. Teachers and parents may notice several indicators in their setting: off-task behavior, inattentiveness, disorganization. Parents complain about messy rooms, child can never find anything. Fidgetiness, impulsivity, poor penmanship, very illegible handwriting, failure to complete tasks, difficulty following multi-step directions. Parents often say, you know, I've told my child to do clean up his room, make his bed, and get ready for school, and one of the three happened and the other one was only partially done. That's a very common concern, and sometimes children will even show signs of frustration or short-temperedness.
What is the cause for the scattered, uncontrollable behaviors?
Typically, they appear as scattered, uncontrollable behaviors because what's happening is the brain activity is moving much quicker with multiple thoughts in a very short time than the child can really focus upon. And so typically, children are unconsciously trying to move their bodies to keep pace with the amount of brain activity that they're having.
What role does the environment and food play in controlling the symptoms seen in ADD or ADHD children?
Foods that are highly processed with artificial ingredients, colors, dyes, they burden the body and fog the mental ability. And it really amplifies any symptoms that a child may already have. Food sensitivities such as wheat, gluten, dairy, and even vitamin deficiencies can also impact focus and attention. And the younger the child is and the more inundated their body is with things that are not supporting them, foods or environmentally, that more amplified the symptoms will be. Also, things such as sensory integration dysfunction, and that basically is anywhere that the five senses are either overly sensitive or underly, not within a typical range, can also exhibit some symptoms. Environmental allergies, pollen, smoke, dust, fragrances, they upset and disrupt the nervous system, which can strongly impact how children function, both at home and in a classroom setting. Some children with ADHD have even been found to have some vision problems, and it really takes not just an optometrist but a specialist to really look and investigate to figure out if there's some vision concerns also impacting how the child is processing and what's going on. A lack of structure and consistency in a setting can really increase symptoms. If a child is in a very non-routine setting, whether at home or in school, they have a harder time keeping up with all the things they're responsible for as it is, and then when their setting is not structured, it really amplifies the difficulty with that. Also, in some classrooms, children are exposed to strong rigidity, where teachers may be inflexible in terms of allowing movement, or even at home, parents may have really, really strict rules of how they want things done, and there isn't that flexibility to allow that child to move and navigate that's going to really support them. So really having a strong balance makes a difference.
What kind of smoke? Cigarette smoke?
Cigarette smoke, chimney smoke, anything that what we would consider pollutants in the air it impacts the respiratory as well as the nervous system. And so children's bodies are much smaller and are less able to really fight off all of those environmental toxins that they're often inundated with. Strong detergents in the home, lots of cleaning fluids can really impact as well.
Ms. Glenn, what are some other ways parents and educators can help children who have these type of symptoms?
Checklists are great for regular routine activities. They support independence and task completion. Things like, you know, if there are things they do almost daily or weekly or even monthly, creating a checklist so the child doesn't have to remember everything, they can actually check it off on their checklist. And that could be things on like a whiteboard or just a sheet of paper that may be laminated that the child can use over and over and over again. So that way when you say go clean your room, they don't have to remember every step of that child. They can just refer back to their list. And oftentimes as adults, you'll see people with lots of sticky notes or lots of lists. And children need that as well. We just don't think about children needing lists the same way adults need lists. But if you have a child with ADHD or attention deficit disorder, a list can really benefit them. Things in school such as organizational binders really help to systemize the way they function in school day. Color coding information by categories, highlighting key information when they're reading, using visual graphic organizers for note-taking, and altering the way in which they take notes or provide information. It could either be done through audio or visual. Because penmanship is such an issue, children need an opportunity to respond and give back information beyond just in the typical written form. And so being creative really helps that. Also, something else that can be done typically anywhere within just a couple of moments is what's called a location. And doing a location activity allows the child to increase their attention in the present moment, and it's great for to do just prior to lengthy activities. So, for example, a location is basically just being anywhere in any setting, outside or inside, and consciously identifying things in the area. Like I'm sitting in my office, so I would say I see a light plug, I see a clock, I see a TV, I see a book. And what it does is it really grounds me and helps me be more present and consciously aware of where I am, which slows down the brain activity. And so that helps. That can be done just before maybe a test or a lengthy assignment or where a child's got to really focus and listen to maybe a lecture the teacher's going to have. They can do that either silently or to themselves. But, you know, when they're first being taught that skill, that's something that a parent or a teacher would help coach them through.
Are there any medical supports that can be investigated as well?
There are definitely some non-medication options for looking at attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. One of them is breathing exercises. Really focusing on your breathing and being consciously aware of the breath in and out is a way to slow down the mind, and also meditation. And meditation really talks about quieting the brain. And there's been research that's been done and information out that their parents can look into about both deep breathing and meditation-type activities that can help slow down the mind activity and help a child be more present and focused with where they are. And also allergy elimination techniques. And that's ways to really help reduce the body's burden of it, whether it be food allergies or environmental allergies that may be really burdening a child. And so there are lots of holistic practitioners that can help support that in the community. And it's just about parents being investigative and looking into the resources in their community. You know, being in contact with a knowledgeable physician makes a difference. Someone who is willing to look at some alternative techniques really supports. So oftentimes if families can't find things with a traditional doctor, they can look at, you know, holistic practitioners, whether it be acupuncturists, naturopathic, health practitioners are really a key that families can look at. You know, some people think, well, my child is not going to be able to sit still to meditate. Meditating with a child doesn't have to be, you know, sitting still in a certain pose or lying down. They could be walking, and all they will really do is as they're walking, they're going to focus more on where they are in that moment. If they're walking in the woods or walking on the sidewalk, they're going to notice the cracks in the line, the trees, the flowers. And that's just a way of really bringing their mind and their body down and bringing their attention to where they are. If they're in a school setting, again, take a few minutes to walk around the room or walk around their building to help, again, bring their body down and bring them back into focus.
Ms. Glenn, when or should parents ever consider medication as an option?
As medication is not a cure-all, because it requires ongoing monitoring to determine whether there's continued success or side effects, most prescription medications have side effects. And for children who reach adolescence and are typically on some medication for ADHD or ADD, they tend to go into a state of depression there's lots of research that talks about children even becoming suicidal. And so parents want to really be mindful of medication. But if they choose as a family to consider medication, it is highly recommended that they consider that after other approaches have been found to not be effective, because medication alone in most cases does not fully support all the needs a child has with ADHD.
What should a parent do if they've been told by the child's school to take their child to the doctor for evaluation or to consider medicating their child?
Schools have very crafty ways in which they mention medication to parents. Sometimes they're very direct, and sometimes they say, well, you may want to just take your child to the doctor. And what a parent needs to know is that they have the right to refuse medication, and they can acknowledge the school's concern. They can ask the school what type of interventions they're using currently in the classroom that might be working and what things aren't working. The parent could also convey the strategies that they're implementing, but they can always let the school know that even if I take my child to the doctor and the doctor says, yes, my child has ADHD or ADD, I still, as a parent, can choose not to medicate my child. I still have the right to choose something else. And usually that's a school's way of saying, your child could use some medication. And some schools will say outright, have you thought about medicating your child? And they know that is a violation of both the parent's right and the child's right, partly because they're not a medical practitioner and they can't prescribe or recommend medication. And so parents just really need to be aware of their rights and not feel pressured by the school to do something that they don't feel is right for them or their family.
So you think sometimes it comes down to parents not knowing their rights?
Exactly. Usually it doesn't happen over one conversation. It may happen several times, and school system personnel will really, you know, use their own personal experiences either with their child or other children or other families to try to convey why medication is such a great option. So they don't talk about the fact that the medications are changed sometimes multiple times in a year. It requires lots of blood work, lots of doctor visits, that it's not just here's this quick pill and it's going to cure everything. And so parents aren't given the full understanding of what using medication as an option requires. There is no one single quick fix. And so parents need to understand that it's going to take some effort and investigation on their part to really find what's going to work for their specific child, because every child is different. And not the same thing is going to work great that might have worked great for somebody else. It's not a cookie cutter formula.
So your best advice to parents is what?
Is to be aware of their rights, that they have the right to choose, to be open to seeking out all possibilities for the child. They can begin at home with some basis of just being mindful of what their child eats, just being mindful of the environmental toxins they're exposing their child to. And so those are some basic things. Making sure the child's drinking clean, pure water that's not contaminated with lots of lead and chlorine, making sure they're eating organic food, making sure they're reducing the artificial flavors and sweeteners, excessive sugar. Those are some basic things parents can do. And if they don't see change with that, that's very rare that that won't happen. But just taking care of some of those initial things are a step in the right direction to really reducing the symptoms that may be present with a child with ADHD.
Great information. Are there agencies or services that can assist parents with supporting their children? And if so, how can a parent find out how to connect with these agencies?
There is a national agency by the name of CHADD. It's C-H-A-D-D, and it is a national ADD organization that have local chapters around the nation. They have the website. They're welcome to visit. There's always updated information there. And then they can also find local support groups within their area. CHADD can either connect them with one, and with meetup.com, families can actually start and create their own local chapter within their area. Because there is such an overdiagnosis or high diagnosis, there are lots of families looking for options. So families just have to be willing to talk to their neighbors, talk to their church members, talk to their community, and there are going to be other people who are looking for ways to support, as well as getting their child involved in athletic activities or community structure activities can be a positive way of really supporting positive self-image. Because what happens is over time, children who tend to have lack of success at home and lack of success at school really are impacted by low self-esteem and low self-image. And a lot of it is because the ADD is out of control. And so they begin to think that there's something wrong with them. And so ways to really support their child with helping them know what their strengths and weaknesses are, being very positive in terms of supporting those gifts and talents and strengths and weaknesses, really help support positive self-esteem, as well as continue to work on what things can we do as a family to support and reduce the symptoms and the symptomatic width of how it's impacting our child. And so families just really need to be mindful of, again, connecting with holistic practitioners in their area, asking for referrals, asking a doctor for referrals, asking friends and neighbors and family who have children with diagnosis, what have they done, what works. So just really being open and making the effort to do something beyond what they're currently doing.
Wow. Well, Ms. Glenn, for our listeners who might want to learn more, how can you be reached?
Listeners may reach us at our website, which is www.practiceinmotion.com, and all the words are spelled out. It's PRACTICEINMOTION, as well as they can call us at our office at 800-609-1839, and our email address is practiceinmotion@gmail.com.
practiceinmotion@gmail.com. And before we wrap this interview up, how did you get involved in helping families with special needs?
I was an educator for 15 years in the public school setting. I worked with children from kindergarten through 12th grade. And after spending years and years and years of trying to really support and help individual families, I realized there was a greater call in my life, and that I loved being in the classroom, but I wasn't able to make the type of impact that I knew that I was really destined to make, that God really had aligned for me to be able to make, to reach out and support families. So I started my company, and now I have an opportunity to help a much broader range of children across the metro area, across the nation. We have clients in other states as well as just in the metro Atlanta area. And so it's a great opportunity for me to use the skills that I gained as a classroom teacher and working with families and the rest of my staff to be able to support children growing up to be productive, healthy, positive individuals.
You are definitely using your skills well. This has really been an informative interview.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Ms. Patricia Glenn, founder and president of Practice in Motion Training Institute, thank you for being with us today and sharing with us just a wealth of information.
Thank you. I look forward to future opportunities to come back and share some more information with your audience.
We'd love to have you back. You've been listening to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. I'd like to thank my producer, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas. And for more information about our guest, log on to sparkplugpeople.com. Until next time, always remember that you can add a spark to whatever you do. And thanks for tuning in.
Once again, you've been listening to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. To be a guest on our show, please send your request to businesscelebrity@gmail.com or give us a call at 770-460-5995.